wonderful people. Welcome back to the second hour. Love Babs, Love Talk. I'm Babs Rolls Ivy. I get to talk to Reginald Woolery today. Hey, Reggie Woolery.
Hey, Babs. How you doing?
You are the new program director at the Creative Arts Workshop.
Yes, I am. I'm very glad to be here and looking forward to doing a lot of great things here in New Haven.
How long ago did you say, like, how new? Is the ink dry on the contract? Like, how new is this?
Well, I only moved to New Haven last June, and I joined Creative Arts 2 months ago.
Okay. All right. So you are a visual artist, a cultural writer, and an educator. And you live in North Haven?
I live in North Haven, and I'm actually doing this call from Colby Cathedral High School, where I'm teaching an art class. They let me get out for a few minutes for this interview. I teach intro to art, and we have some great students here.
Yay! I thought you were in the library. I was like, "Yeah, this is in a library."
I leave here, and then I drive to Creative Arts right after this.
Okay. All right. So, tell me about what you plan to do over at Creative Arts Workshop, and then we're gonna talk about you a little bit.
Okay. All right. You folded your arms, so I got them up. You serious too? All right.
No.
Well, this is a wonderful town filled with lots of incredible artists. I recently just came from the Charles Wright Museum in Detroit, the African American mm-hmm. Museum there, which before the Smithsonian was the largest African American museum in the United States. And there I ran the programs and education programs. And what I learned from there is that people need their art centers to be both cultural centers and art institutions. So what I'm hoping to do is, help Anne with the earned income, because we are a school based on tuition, but also, really diversify our teachers. And hopefully the staff and I've talked about this thing called InReach, where it's different than outreach. Really, it's like looking at the community as experts and bringing them in order to help us grow and help us do new types of programming. So that's something you can look forward to. My first big project I'm working on June 10th is Reshaped and Refocus, an exhibition of three artists that are really amazing, Amira Brown, Greg Amy, and an artist named Mosho. And so there's a reception on June 10th from 6 to 9 p.m. Hopefully you'll come out. People will come out.
I'm a huge fan of Amira Brown and her twin sister.
Absolutely. Well, they're everywhere, sister. And they're busy, and they're very talented.
They are. And, the Creative Arts Workshop is not known for cultivating and centering folks of color. So this is interesting. And I would imagine since Ann Coates arrived, that probably has been on her mind. Talk a little bit about what that vision looks like. And beyond, after you do this June event, what happens after that?
Well, when in the interview process with Ann was really, a back and forth kind of interviewing them as well. Both about the financial model, but also about this, the school was based on 9 or 8 different art disciplines, which are all European centric, right? Like every culture does weaving, but there's a certain type of work that's done there. All the work is amazing. So it doesn't really call out to us, our community, to come there. I am working on with Ann to, get some bilingual speaking teachers so we can reach out to other communities to hire different types of teachers. So the work that I do, mostly I consider the work I do to be innovative audience development, involving technology. And I like problem solving. And this is a big problem. I mean, I think all major institutions that I've worked for, all major mainstream, say they want to diversify their audience, but you have to make it happen. So I congratulate Ann for hiring me, because I want to be successful. We have some things in the works that I think will show that we are being intentional. And I think a lot of people are looking to see if we are actually going to do it. So.
So do you think this is a good time for artists of color? I feel like there are a great many arts organizations and like theaters and museums and galleries are starting to hire people of color in those leadership roles. I mean, I'm seeing it. I mean, I'm seeing it in New Haven specifically, but I'm seeing it in places around the country. I mean, what do you make of that?
I mean, I have been an artist for a long time, and I was able to pay my way by being an arts administrator. That's how I was able to get my experience, just moving around from group to group. And so I've been in a lot of institutions that didn't have people of color at the lead, but I also have been at some like Black Filmmaker Foundation with the Hudlin Brothers, where, you know, collectives of filmmakers like Julie Dash, Charles Burnett, a lot of other people got together. And what I believe is, whether you work for an institution that is centered around our community specifically or a mainstream institution, your work is still to find a way to bring artists of color in that community in. The top five grossing artists in the United States are actually women of color, African-American, or women of African descent. So I think what happened is a lot of artists have just kind of jumped to the global stage, even a lot of international artists, and just kind of stepped over the kind of race divide that happens in the United States. And so in order to reach these artists, you need people of color to connect, not just locally, but internationally, with what's really going on in the art world. As I said, like, a lot of artists are really selling, whether it's through Instagram or whether it's in galleries. So the institutions have to catch up.
I mean, I think African-American artists have always jumped to other shores for respect and showcasing of their work. I mean, we saw it. I mean, we saw it with Langston Hughes. We saw it with, I mean, we just saw it, you know, for a long time. And then I guess there was a reimagining of that here, but I'm starting to see more artists sort of do just what you said. Look at international stages and places to showcase, because the racism here is still entrenched.
It's still an issue, you know. Again, I came from Detroit, where during the pandemic, all the disparities of income, you know, all the different disparities just became exacerbated, right? And so hopefully what some of us got out of it was some resilience in order to just make our own path. You know, the Great Resignation, all these different things, people are deciding to make their own way. Even in New Haven, I find a lot of artists might not even consider the mainstream institutions. They're organizing their own exhibitions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of my mentors, Oakley, is in Sinsway. He passed away a couple years ago, but he really connected artists internationally in a way that broke it all open, so that at least we can aspire to something bigger than just hoping this an institution wants to integrate. There are people we can connect with all over the world who want to hear our poetry, want to see our imagery, you know, hear our music. So that's encouraging. I think that's the way we're going to go. You know, the new technology is here, and that's what it's here for, to connect us.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think that the pandemic has given us any lessons in the value of artists and artistry? I just found that if it was not for artists going online and performing for us, that I think we would have been in a lot worse shape. I mean, they just really found a way to connect us, whether it was Yo-Yo Ma every day at noon playing, or if it was some children's choir somewhere singing in all the little boxes. What do you think the artistic lessons of the pandemic say to artists and to those of us who like art?
Well, you know, even just being on this radio show, before the pandemic, you didn't see me on Zoom or any kind of video conferencing. So while a lot of times we might have poo-pooed, you know, technology, you know, we really relied on, we really missed the connection, right? Human connection. And hopefully we came out of the pandemic wanting human connection. But I think being able to still experience each other across different shores, as you said, through Zoom and different demonstrations or protests, that was inspiring. That's what held us together. You know, you could still, I'm a church boy, so I was able to participate and hear lots of different sermons from different places, didn't get locked into the idea of a building. And I think a lot of people develop their sense of spiritual self. And hopefully even at Creative Arts Workshop in different places, you know, we are not afraid to say that arts can be about the wellness, about, you know, helping our people. I've always used the term psychic reparations, that the material reparations that are due to African Americans is one thing. And you hear Harvard coming up with like $100 million to acknowledge its role in the slave trade. But museums and art institutions help people reconnect, reimagine. What Toni Morrison talks about, this kind of burden of history that we have, the psychic reparations are important too. So us connecting through art is part of that work, I think.
Mm. So you're an art teacher. Talk about that.
I went to art school, went to Parsons, and I think artists can be, you know, we're all very selfish people. We're very, you know, self-centered about our work and very serious. But I worked at this one school in East Hampton called the Ross School for a few years. And that was the first place where I really noticed the students, where I became aware how much they were carrying into the building before they even got to my class. Just certain things that had happened to kids. And it just turned a light bulb on for me, where since that time, about 15 years ago, I've volunteered in juvenile hall, working with kids who were incarcerated and with gangbangers in LA, just helping them make movies about their life. So I love, teachers stand in the gap for kids, you know, besides the subject matter, they're there when they're not with their parents. And I enjoy that. So even though I'm an administrator, a lot of times I like being in front of young people and helping draw out their personality, their sense of self, sense of identity. And that's what I'm doing here at Colby. They did some incredible pieces, one in which we're going to have an art show soon. This is an artwork they produced based on a piece of fabric from Ghana. This is all cut paper. I have about 50 of these the students did. Studied African-American quilts and Amish quilts. And the kids made, didn't get it in there. So I'm hoping, I'm here in Bridgeport, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have that showing of student work and the parents will come out. And just, even though this is not an art school, just showing what art, like as you said, what art can do, how it can raise the spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, schools right now, you know, Reggie, are under siege. You know, they are ripe for some kind of reimagination. And I get the sense that art could be centered in that conversation, you know, the way, I mean, art, music, all of it could be centered, because we've slowly taken that out, right? Yes. It slowly disappeared. And I think we paid a heavy price for that. And to see it sort of hopefully get reimagined and recentered into the education system might bode well for us for the future.
I agree with you. Connecticut is one of the richer states in the United States, and it doesn't have a lot of art in the schools. And I don't see how that is possible. And even though I hear from time to time, oh, Reggie, you're not from here. You know, you're not a local. I'm here as someone who believes in the arts and believes in young people. And I want to help be a part of, you know, any team that tries to get art into the schools or get kids into art classes. Even if that's not their major, if they're going to be like these kids, they're studying to be engineers and other things, but I help them think outside the box. So that's what art can do as well.
I want to go back to something you said that I never thought about. And I'm sure if I didn't think about it, a lot of people didn't think about it. I never thought of Creative Arts Workshop as a school.
You know, a lot of places without telling you my age, a lot of places started in the 70s and 80s as co-ops, as I said earlier about Black Filmmaker Foundation. A group of people got together and said, you know, skip the mainstream. Let's form our own little thing and let's do it a certain way. You know, you had all kinds of cooperatives. And so I look at the founding of CAW as a cooperative of people who had various types of skills. And then they allowed people for very little money to learn, but then they needed to have an administrative arm to make it more professional. And so now we probably have 1,300 classes a year.
Wow.
And probably over 70 teachers. This weekend, Chandra Holloway did a incredible class, you know, and so, you know, it's a gem, you know. I think it's just a matter of a lot of people around the city haven't heard of it. And some people have had a bad experience, you know, feeling like they weren't welcome. And that's something I'm taking on as the new project.
Mm. I mean, that's a lot of weight, because I've heard those experiences too. That's a lot of, it can be done, because listen, I serve on the board of Long Wharf Theater. And for a long time, it was Lily White Theater, right? Like, it was unwelcoming. And now they're trying to sort of reimagine what welcoming could look like to a community that was never invited. So, and I think there's a lot of institutions like that are going through that sort of metamorphosis, renaissance, reimagining, all of that. Yeah.
And on both sides of it, one, you need brave and strong artists to form their own organizations and not wait, right? So you have these racial equity grants, which are allowing small groups that have already been doing things all along in New Haven to form their own organizations and go into the community, not just give the money to the groups that have a history of not serving, right? So as you said, unless you can help people reimagine it, like, I would love the change to happen tomorrow, but in some of these groups, you have to put the vision out there and work with people, and it has to be something they want to do at some point. And so that's the work. No, I think that's a national thing. I'm also trying to work CAW. We're trying to think of a collaboration with the local museum for Juneteenth. So you wouldn't think of CAW related to Juneteenth, but part of a program I curated at the Charles Wright was around voting rights. And so I would like to, you know, do a presentation in collaboration with another museum around Juneteenth on voting rights, and just talk about, you know, what freedom means to us is having the right to, you know, choose our own name, have property, have our own business, you know, have the right to vote and vote our interests. And so look for that. That's going to come out. And hopefully we'll be doing a lot more of these types of cultural things as well as art things through CAW. But
I love that. I mean, I first of all, I love collaborations between differing entities, because I think that makes for a richer experience. I'm looking forward to it, because I think this is a very art renaissance time. I feel it. You got to get to your class.
No, and somebody's trying to get into the library to make copies, and I can't help for it.
Okay. So because I think this is an amazing time. I just read the other day where Ernie Banks' Sugar Shack just sold for $15 million. You know, and I'm like, whoa.
I mean, if you look at, again, the top, out of the top 10 grossing artists in the United States, five of them are women of color, and their work is just selling for millions of dollars. And that should inspire all of us, you know, to whatever art you're doing, that we're of value. And I think we've been led to believe for too long, which I don't think we believe anymore, is that our work is a derivative or less than, and, you know, we're just trying to, you know, attach ourselves to some institution. But, you know, a lot of these young artists are just breaking out and doing their own thing and creating their own market, again, on Instagram and so on. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, I love it too. Like, they are not trying to bang on museum door, like, see me. They're like, listen, I'm going to create a museum right here wherever I'm at. And people could come see me right here in the corner.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So before I let you go, because I know I'm sure you probably have to get back, but talk to me a little bit, Reggie, about the kind of art that you enjoy doing for your own artist's reach, for your own artistic expression?
I went to
it. Do you have time to do anything?
Well, no, now I don't. I'm doing lawn work here in Connecticut, but I went to an art high school. You know, I thought I might be want to be an architect, but I went to an art high school, and it just opened up a lot of possibilities. It got me to New York, where a lot of my friends were in fashion design. I kind of got into photography and illustration. So some of the mediums at CAW, like linoleum printing and, you know, like printing on Japanese rice paper, making all these woodcuts, those are the things I was doing early. And now I've, from there, I kind of went to video and a little bit of documentary filmmaking. And so I'm kind of getting back into using photography as a way of telling stories. It's very simple stories on Instagram. If I do have time, I love to take some of those ideas that work the best and enlarge them into pieces. I am inspired by the community here. So many people are working, but I know I haven't made a lot of time other than experimenting during the pandemic with ideas. So,
and so when you don't have time to pursue your art, what does that do to you? I mean, do you say, you know what, I have to figure this out. Or are you okay with, all right, I don't have time right now, but I'm still, you know, an artist.
I'm not going to say Langston Hughes and say what happens to a raisin in the sun. You know, I'm not going to go there. But what I will say is, really, the truth is, the only reason I do arts administration is because I make it a collaborative art project. Right? Like, the artwork is not completed until a large group of people are participating. And so one of the projects that I did in East Hampton was I opened up my own storefront radio station, and the community came in and DJed programs from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And just giving them that space and that power to express themselves. For me, that was an artwork. And radio was just a metaphor that a lot of people who might not normally speak to each other are now in this kind of virtual space, something that you create even with this show. And so I look at my work at CAW as kind of as administrator, but I would love it for it to be an artwork that I'm trying to, as I learn the community, I don't know the community that well. I'm just getting introduced to people, you know, and create a collaborative artworks with community. That would make me happy.
Mm-hmm. Are you an extrovert or introvert? Because this will tell me how I can get you connected to all the people.
No one said I'm an introvert, but you know, I love time. I bought a kayak. I love to be alone, you know, out on the water. I love to garden. So, but I love to be out with people. I went to a couple openings this weekend and an art walk. So I'm out there.
Okay. I was at Amplify the Arts in Hamden, their first artist collective. My sorority sister is a new town clerk out there. And she had this idea of bringing artists together in Hamden because they have an art scene that nobody knew they had an art scene. And so
they went away. All right. Sorry.
That's what happens.
I wanted to go to that event in Hamden, but I was not able to.
That's all right. They're going to do it next year. The grant they got this year, next year. So, I mean, that's what I mean. But that's the joy of this city right now. There's so much arts happening. You know, like any given night, you could be at three or four things without an equally rich enriching, you know. So
absolutely. I love it.
You know, and you could run ragged. So, all right. I'm appreciative that you're here. I'm looking forward to getting to see what you do. I'm looking forward to seeing the Creative Arts Workshop blossom and come into the fold a little bit with expanding and opening.
Well, you're
doors.
Invited to our June 10th event opening. Hopefully I'll see you there. We're hoping that at some point during the run of the show, it's going to be up for a month, that Toshi Reagan, who's doing the Parable of the Sower, will come.
Yes.
And see the exhibit as well, or we'll have some kind of event with her.
Talk a little bit about the reimagine the
reshaped exhibit, and refocused. Yes. Well, you know, in a way, you could say that is the dream of CAW going forward, right? Reshaped and refocused. That's what I look at as the starting point for me. But the exhibition, the artists were recommended to us, Amira and Greg and Moshe, from Arts and Ideas. And we were able to see their work, talk about Parable of the Sower, come up with some themes related to freedom that the artists wanted to expand upon. We've been meeting regularly. We think we're going to have a wonderful presentation using both the upper and lower galleries at CAW, which face out into the street. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be an amazing event. And again, the opening reception is on Friday, June 10th. We have Rhythm Brewing donating some refreshments, and we have other people who are going to provide refreshments. We think it's going to be a really great night. And again, whether, we want to move forward, understanding skepticism about the past, but like I said, it's not just about what you say, it's about what you do. So I'm looking forward to the challenge.
And the big read for the city is Parable of the Sower, because Toshi Reagan's opera is coming.
Yes, I should have said that. Yes, it's coming to the Schubert, and I'm not sure of the dates, but that's just going to be an incredible thing for the city, and it'd be wonderful to meet her in person. And yeah. I think the One City, One Read has been great to kind of have all these different organizations and libraries all working together. So,
yes, have you seen Parable? I've seen it.
I haven't seen it. No, you saw it?
Oh man, I saw it a couple of years ago, and it's still in me. It's one of those things that just, when you think about it, you could feel it going through you. And The Parable of the Sower is my favorite book.
And it's influenced, even though, people might read it today and feel like it's dated, because it's influenced so many other stories that filmmakers have made, like The Book of Eli, just about this idea of apocalyptic reinvention and making it on a journey. It just inspired a lot of different things.
Mm. And you mentioned Julie Dash, just as an aside, Daughters of Dust is my favorite film. Like my absolute, it's still a beautiful looking film. Every time I watch it, I'm just amazed by it. It's such a beautiful film.
So. I mean, when I started working at Black Filmmaker Foundation, I didn't know that we made films. And so I was distributing Julie's graduate films, Illusions, Four Women, that had music by Nina Simone. And then when Daughters came out, everybody, who I knew in Brooklyn was a PA on it. And it just was so beautiful and just makes you hungry when you see the food. And
yes. And when you see that, and then you see like Soul Food, the movie, right? I mean, that's that recurring theme of family and food and specifically our food. It's just all these themes. I just love it. So, Reggie, you and I could talk forever about it.
I know. I got the principal looking at me in class, I appreciate you giving me some time, and thank you.
Well, no, welcome. Welcome to New Haven, and welcome to Creative Arts Workshop. I look forward to what you do.
All right. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Take care.
All right. All right, Harry. I don't know where you are, but my first day back from having time off. It's been really good. You can sign out, Reggie, whenever you want. Just click yourself out. Being off a week, I thought I'd be a little rusty, but I'm not. It felt good to have my first guest of the week, Reggie Woolery, who's the program director over at Creative Arts Workshop. I'm telling you, these organizations got Black folks in them. We got to support them because it is no easy road. It is no easy road. And they come with a whole lot of folks folks feeling some kind of way about Black people specifically. So we got him and Lisa Dent and Jacob Pardon and so all these wonderful people run these arts organizations. It's a good day. It's a good day. And we gotta support them in these efforts. and get community to these spaces, you know. And these organizations got to do their part in widening their invitation to community, you know, that it works both ways. You know, you can't just build it and they will come. You got to build it and invite and be sincere in your invitation, and invite not just because it's Black stuff, but invite because you want everybody to come in and experience whatever it is the experience is. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying. So that's I guess that's the thing. This week I've got, who do I have on this week? I've got a bunch of folks on this week. Nobody tomorrow, but I've got Julia's coming on, Gambardella, for the Known graduation. Because, you know, Known, the co-working space, has been doing work with entrepreneurs and are graduating a cohort. And they're going to come on and talk about that. So I'm excited to hear about what they're doing. Oh, Melissa Barton from the Beinecke is coming on. And she's going to be talking about, I think, women in theater. I believe that's the conversation. But it doesn't matter. I will talk to Melissa Barton about anything. She is she's over at the Beinecke, and I first met her when she curated a couple of amazing, particularly the one on Richard Wright at Langston Hughes, I think, some other exhibits. So she's going to be here on Thursday. And then Friday, I think I have somebody coming on too. So this is the week. This is the week, baby. And Arts and Ideas has kicked off. So if you don't have your brochure, go to artsidea.org and look up whatever it is that they're doing. And go to some of these events. Like, just go. A lot of it is free. Go and hear interesting conversation. Wonderful exhibition. Just go. So that's it for me today, beautiful people. It is time for me to get out here in the Elm and see people, and I'll be back tomorrow. And fine. Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Paul. I'll see y'all. Bye, bye, bye.